are listening to the Gospel Trail. A guy went to his rabbi and said, "Rabbi, you'll never believe what just happened to me. My son left the house and became a Christian." The rabbi said, "Shh, you will never believe what just happened to me. My son left the house and became a Christian too. So what do we do?" "We pray to God." They prayed to God and God answered. He said, "You will never believe what happened to me."
And we are in Luke 24.
That is correct.
That is correct, yep.
It's Christ appearing on the road to Emmaus.
Well, Lord, yeah, we just come before you to see more of you in the scriptures, Lord. As you use the scriptures to help others see, help us see more in the scriptures as we read it today and study it and talk about it. Holy Spirit, help us see God the Father in the text and to see the Son, our Savior, in the text. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Chapter 24.
Verse 13.
Here we go. Get focused. And we put numbers on these stories so we can refer to them, find out where things go. But so often, the story goes with what's printed just before that, studying what they call the road to Emmaus. I really haven't heard a sermon on this for a long time or about it.
Sounds like somebody's heartbeat.
It is. So it's important to put this into context. I mean, this was what they call the first day of the week. You know, this is traditionally we call it, you know, Sunday morning, when Jesus suddenly disappeared from the tomb. And can you imagine all the rumors going around and what happened and different things? Yep, there it is. Yeah, Sandy's got pictures of the tomb. He was there, big stone rolled ahead over it, and they even had a Romans had a guard standing there in front of it, guarding it, and they had rolled a tomb or a stone in front of it just in case this Jesus came through with what he was saying, that he will rise again. But what really is not perplexing, a lot of people are that way today. The people that were on the road to Emmaus were walking just dismayed. They were just traveling to another village. They were right there when the news happened. I mean, they couldn't have been more than two people away from the story changing, if it will. I'm sure the whole city was down there to watch the spectacle. And so much today, the same things happen with social media. Something happens in the world and it's just spreads around tremendously fast. Here's a case where word of mouth, I would say this is the, if you call us Christians, which means followers of Christ, you know, the risen one, this road to Emmaus would be among the, you know, the first two to believe and follow him after he's been resurrected from the tomb.
Yeah, it's important what you were saying, though. The beginning of chapter 24 is the account of the women going to the tomb and finding it empty.
That's right.
You know, that's early that Sunday morning, because I was, as I read more and as I got into it, I was literally taken into the spirit with what was going on. So the women had gone to the tomb and then reported back and saying, "He's not there. He's not there." And the disciples, in verse 11 of 24, when the disciples heard the testimony of the women, it made no sense. I love it. Here Jesus predicted what he was going to do. He said what he was going to do, but we didn't believe it. And that's something for us to remember on a daily basis. You know what I mean? The road to Emmaus, I had a lot of thoughts about that. It made no sense, and they were unable to believe what they heard. Unable to believe. Does that sound like how when we heard about Jesus Christ,
right,
we were unable to believe?
Oh yeah,
what we heard.
Yep.
But Peter jumped up and ran the entire distance to the tomb to see for himself. Stooping down, he looked inside and discovered it was empty. Oh, so the women were right. Hello.
That's right. That's right.
There was only the linen sheet lying there. Staggered by this.
Empty or did he have doubts and think that somebody stole the body?
That's right. And the thing is, I love the words that are used in the Passion Translation, though, staggered. Staggered in amazement, because it's like, what has happened here? What's
right,
going
right.
on? And then it talks about the road to Emmaus, realizing that was later, as it's told about now, later in the day, later on Easter Sunday.
Right.
It's later in the day.
Later in the day.
And these two men, well, we don't know if they're two men, but that's Cleopas, how do you pronounce that, Don?
Caiaphas?
No, it's Cleopas, I think.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Or Cleopas.
Yeah, Cleopas. So what happens? I mean, I think it's so important to read what is said there and then react to what is said. Because when I do a study, I like to read all the words and then talk about
them. Right.
Yeah, because, you know, afterwards I came up with a bunch of questions, because that's what I am. You know, it's like this one. You know, I put, we're all on a road. You know, that's how I ended my study, is in, where are we on that road? But why don't we just start then? Later that Sunday, two of Jesus' disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a journey of about 17 miles. I read in other places where it said it was 7 miles, not 17 miles.
Yeah, the King James Version says seven.
Right. They were in the midst of a discussion, and I was thinking, you know, because being in Israel, being in Jerusalem, you know, 7 miles, you know, how long would it take to walk? Because that's
right,
what,
right.
You know.
Or bike it.
Right.
I mean, that's like 35 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. They were in the midst of a discussion about all the events of the last few days when Jesus walked up and accompanied them in their journey. So he just walks up. They're walking on the road to Emmaus. He just shows up. They were unaware that it was Jesus walking alongside them, for God prevented them from recognizing him. So why would, that's my first question, why would God prevent them from recognizing him?
Well, I think first I'd like to look at, you know, closer to what, you know, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Did they give up, or have you seen? I mean, have you ever been to a graveside service and you're walking away from that, and how they looked and how you would look?
Yeah.
I mean, and they were going most likely, you know, the road back home. You know, where they lived. You know, are they thinking back to the drawing board? You know, their hopes and dreams shattered. It didn't go the way they wanted it to.
It didn't go the way they thought it should go.
Right.
Which is, hello, right. Isn't that kind of what we deal with a lot? Because we believe things should go a certain way.
And then they gave up. I mean, just think, Christ has risen, you know, and he has risen indeed. And that message is at this very moment being spread, you know, spread across the land.
Mm-hmm.
And these two are just, like others, I would imagine, you know, they gave up just before the revelation or the breakthrough.
Yeah, and you think
they
about
gave up
that.
Their faith, you know, their hope. I mean, it's shattered, judging by the, you know, body language that I see in this passage.
Yeah, because Jesus goes on and says to them, "You seem to be in a deep discussion about something. What are you talking about? So sad and gloomy." So that's the way
sad.
The two looked. Sad and
sad.
Gloomy. And if you can imagine, where is Jesus? What happened? What are we alone? Are we alone again? Are we to give up? And then I like how Cleopas answered. They stopped, and the one named Cleopas answered, "Haven't you heard? Are you the only..." I love this. "Are you the only one in Jerusalem unaware of the things that happened over the last few days?" And then Jesus asked, What things?
That's, yeah, what you know, things? Like, oh.
It's so typical of us. It's like, you know, here they are, they don't even know they're talking to Jesus, and they're saying, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard?
Haven't you heard? No.
Yeah, Jesus asked, what things? The things about Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they replied. He was a mighty prophet of God who performed miracles and wonders. His words were powerful, and he had great, I love this, he had great favor with God and the people. Great favor with God and the people. And that's a desire of my heart. I want to have great favor with God and the people that I come in contact with. But 3 days ago, the high priest and the rulers of the people sentenced him to death and had him crucified. We all hoped that he was the one who would redeem and rescue Israel.
Yeah, they were looking for some they were looking for Jesus to come back triumphantly, and which he did indeed, but not in the way they perceived he should be. He didn't run up the steps and knock on Pontius Pilate's door and say, "Now what are you going to do?"
How'd that work for you?
I mean, I'm still here. That's what these guys are thinking, you know, why doesn't he come in with chariots and fire and
chariots of fire
and just park on the front steps, you know, of the Parthenon or wherever the gathering was, you know, and say, "Yes, I'm here. I've done what I said I was going to do." And
in defense of the disciples, it does say that their eyes were restrained so that they would not know him. So they weren't expecting him. That's certainly true. But on the other hand, it may be that God was keeping them in the dark, so to speak, so that he could hear what they had to say and then draw them into a richer conversation about what all these things mean.
And I think Jesus, as the teacher he is, started going through all the scriptures that pointed towards this event and that he is the Messiah. And I think that's one of the reasons why they were restrained, is so that, you know, from this point on, after he's gone back to be with the Father in the heaven, these disciples, as well as you and I, will get the same revelation from reading the same scriptures that was given to us through them. And he didn't have the New Testament written. He went to the Old Testament and said, you know, this is me. The promised seed of the woman crushed the serpent's head. You know, and Jesus was the ark who rescues people. And Jesus is the seed of Abraham, whom all blessed. You know, and he goes on to show in the Torah, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, you know, the ultimate Passover lamb. He's the scapegoat who takes away our sins. And that's just part of the Bible. It said he went on for an hour. So that's a pretty good sermon there, right there, 1 hour.
I'm also impressed by the continuity of his message, because you have that he was in great favor with God and his people and the people. And that's almost word for word what the scripture says about him at age 12, that he was growing up in favor with God and the people. Interesting continuity there. Maybe a hint to the disciples, if they knew about these words that had been said about him, just letting the people know, you know, this is the same person. It's a hint, but it's not enough of a hint, apparently, for them to say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, just a note here. Early tradition identified Cleopas as the brother of Joseph, Mary's husband.
Huh.
So that's Uncle Cleopas.
Good old Uncle Cleopas.
I mean, that's Jesus talking to his uncle on the road. Huh. I mean, I would see, no wonder he put... No wonder he didn't reveal himself early on, because it would have changed the conversation greatly.
Yeah, they go on and it says that, you know, talking about the women going to the tomb and finding it empty, they claim two angels appeared and told them, this is told the women, that Jesus is now alive. He's now alive. Some of us went to see for ourselves and found the tomb exactly like the women said, but no one has seen him. And this is these are these two disciples that are walking with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But no one has seen them. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so thick-headed?" That's what it says in the Passion. "Why do you find it so hard to believe every word the prophets have spoken? Wasn't it necessary for Christ the Messiah to experience all these sufferings and then afterward enter into his glory?" Then he carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself throughout the scripture. He started from the beginning, from Genesis, and explained the writings of Moses and all the prophets, showing how they wrote of him and revealed the truth about him. So he goes on. They still don't know it's him. They still do not know it's him. And we just got done. Well, we're in the process. Our church had a thread series that began. It went through all 66 books of the Bible, starting with Genesis, and looked at every book in the Bible and how it points to Jesus Christ. Every book in the Bible and how it points to Jesus Christ. And that's why when I'm looking at this, when Jesus is saying, you know, he started from the beginning and explained the writings of Moses and all the prophets. As they approached the village, Jesus walked on ahead, telling them he was going out on to a distant place. We don't know where that is or what that was just added in there.
Right.
They urged him to remain there and pleaded, "Stay with us, it will be dark soon." So they were concerned about the stranger that was on this road. They were concerned because it was dangerous traveling on the road.
After dark.
After dark, yes. Right. "It will be dark soon." So Jesus went with them into the village. This is where we could start the drum roll, okay? Joining them at the table for supper, he took bread and blessed it and broke it, then gave it to them. All at once, their eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus. So when he broke the bread and blessed them,
right,
just as he had done at the Last Supper, and I was thinking about, why the importance of communion. We were created for communion with Almighty God the Father through Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
And being at his table and eating, taking the bread of life, that is an important thread. I was reading how Luke is different than the other four Gospels, you know, about what he records in that. But he talks about eating, you know, eating being a part of, what did Jesus do? He ate with sinners. They called him a glutton and a drunkard, you know, so he ate with common people. He ate with us. So the bread and the breaking of bread and having that fellowship, he opened the table for everyone to come to have fellowship and communion with him and with each other. And I was just amazed at that. Then it says, then suddenly in a flash, and Kevin and I like the
suddenly,
word suddenly.
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 I like it when God does suddenly.
Right. In a flash, Jesus vanished from before their eyes. Stunned. Here we go again. Stunned.
Stunned again.
They looked at each other and said, why didn't we recognize it was him?
Well, I think that what they were seeing there was probably the nail prints on his hands.
Hmm.
That's what seems to be the focus here, is that he took the bread, he took it in his hand, he blessed it, he gave it to them. And how could they have missed the nail prints in the hands?
Hmm.
And perhaps that is why they realized, nail prints, why would he have, I'm guessing here, but I'm thinking that might be a key.
That would.
Well, yeah, because when they get to Jerusalem and see the 11 disciples, when they were reporting, and that's what Jesus did. Look at my hands. Look at my hands. The important thing is that, you know, it's like, hey, guys and gals, we need to recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know that he is alive. He is alive. And he wants to walk with us, just like he did with the men on the road to Emmaus.
Right.
That's the kind of relationship he wants to have.
Just like he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the night.
Exactly.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah.
And here he's repeating that.
Right. I've got another acronym, ALIVE, because that struck me. ALIVE.
A-L-I-V-E.
Almighty Lord initiates valuable encounters.
Wow.
He's the initiator. He's always the initiator. And that's what I, you know, that's what I realized. My life is so blessed because he initiates. He wants to use each one of us. He wants to show himself to us.
Right.
He doesn't want us to be wondering who he is and what he's doing or if he's doing anything or if he's alive. You know, he wants to fellowship with us. And I love that word alive because just saying that word, I feel alive. Just like a guy at the jail yesterday said, he comes in, and because I had used this before with him, I said, rejoice, rejoice, we are to rejoice. So he comes into the classroom, and he says, rejoice. And it's like, that changes the whole atmosphere.
It changes the
room. Do you realize?
It changes
the atmosphere in the room because he is alive. And as I read more of this, I just get more excited. So I will be quiet for a little bit here.
Yeah,
now.
I think that's one of the purest forms of worship is just calling his name.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Just calling his name.
Amen.
And just think of all the names that we have of Jesus in the Bible. You know, he's the healer. He's help me here. But I mean, he's the risen one. I mean, there is no other name but the name of Jesus that...
He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And his desire is to reveal himself.
That's
why
right.
I'm glad
That's
you
right.
selected this.
I always go back to the two walking home. Hopefully we can get there before dark. And reminds me of, going home after a funeral. You know, you're never going to see this person again.
Mm.
And, whether they believed he rose again or not, we don't really know. But what they were doing was talking about their pasts and their perception and hopes and dreams that they lost right there.
Right, and their experiences
and they shouldn't be lost.
Right.
They shouldn't be lost.
And the experience that they had when they were around him. You know, they
right.
saw miracles and they saw healings. They saw, you know...
Look at how quickly they regressed, too. The disciples were convinced they were seeing a ghost.
Right.
Just like when they were on the high seas and they were sure they were going to be destroyed. And they see Jesus and they say, it must be a ghost. And they're terrified.
Right.
They're terrified of their own assumptions. They're not terrified of what's happening. They're terrified of what they assume it is. And they cannot picture that can be really Jesus. Now, that just goes against what they're thinking is possible.
I like it. Why didn't we recognize it was him? Didn't our hearts burn?
Oh, yes.
With the flames of holy passion.
That's right.
While we walked beside him, he unveiled for us such profound revelation from the scriptures.
You just think of the Last Supper. You know, it's said to have been depicted as a picture of the disciples and Jesus at a long, long table. But it was also in somebody's house.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also, you know, the upper room of that house.
Mm-hmm.
And how many guests would they have had at the Last Supper? You know, you would think that, the brother of Joseph, literally Jesus's uncle,
mm-hmm.
would have been invited to that Last Supper.
Right.
You'd think Mary, his mother, would have been
yes. Well,
invited to that.
Right.
But then just at the moment, like when they believed, he was reenacting what went on at that supper.
Mm-hmm.
And he just brought it home.
Right.
He just brought it home right there.
And the thing is, it's good you were bringing that up because as part of our Israel trip, we were in the upper room.
Oh, yeah.
We were in the upper room, and it could hold a lot of people. It could hold a lot of people. We saw where the table or where but it was a large area where people could have gathered.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said,
wow.
There would have been a lot of people there.
There would have been.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all the close ones that would have been at the graveside would have been there. And they were the first ones that he revealed himself to.
Right. That's right. So what do they do? What do these two guys do? Jesus vanishes. And they left at once. That's what I always like. They left at once. They did not procrastinate. They did not think about it. They left at once.
Where'd they go?
And hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we saw him. We saw him. When they found the 11 and the other disciples all together, they overheard them saying, I like that, all the other disciples together, you know, gathering. Do not forsake the gathering
of
brothers and sisters. They overheard them saying, it's really true. The Lord has risen from the dead. He even appeared to Peter. Then the two disciples told the others what had happened to them on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus unveiled himself as he broke bread with them.
Yeah, so these Christians must not have been too popular after that had happened in Rome.
Well, as I remember reading or seeing, it's like they were afraid. You know, they were kind of huddled together. What do we do now?
Yeah,
it wasn't until Jesus appeared to them and said, I'm here. I have risen from the dead. And as you read the rest of, I didn't know how far you were going to go in chapter 24, but it just gets better and better, you know, because he reveals himself to then he reveals himself to the disciples and to Peter.
Right.
And then it goes on. You know, while they were still discussing all of this, Jesus suddenly manifested right in front of their eyes, startled and terrified. The disciples were convinced they were seeing a ghost. Standing there among them, he said, be at peace. I am the living God. I am alive. Don't be afraid. Why would you be so frightened? Don't let doubt or fear enter your hearts, for I am. Come and gaze upon my pierced hands and feet. See for yourselves, it is I standing here alive. There's that alive again. Touch me and know that my wounds are real. See that I have a body of flesh and bone. He showed them his pierced hands and feet and let them touch his wounds. The disciples were ecstatic, yet dumbfounded, unable to fully comprehend it. Yeah, aren't these words great? They were ecstatic, yet dumbfounded, unable. Well, I mean, put yourself in their places. Here he is showing where the nails went through his hands, showing where his side was pierced, and showing his feet. And it is incomprehensible.
And immediately, you're like in disbelief, but you believe because you can see. I mean, it's just got to be a tremendous feeling. I mean, they sent Moses up on the mountain to talk to God, and God veiled himself at that point because it was too much just to be in his presence. But now here's Jesus who stands right in the middle of the room and says, I am.
I am.
I mean, it said I am in that passage you read.
Right.
He just said, I am. And that's what his reply to Moses was. I am that I am.
Right. Then he goes on, knowing that they were still wondering if he was real. I mean, here he shows. But he knows.
Yeah.
He knows how we are. Jesus said, here, let me show you. Give me something to eat.
Well, there you go.
They handed him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and they watched him eat it. And that's why I'm saying, that's why one of the commentaries I said that, you know, that Luke deals with eating. You know, that eating is a part
of everyday food is the test.
You know, food is the test because here he was eating and he consumed it. It's like, well, he must be real. He must be alive.
He sat down and ate with them.
Yeah, he sat down and ate with them.
I mean, that's what he does.
Right.
So he walks with us, you know, he'll eat with us.
Yeah, he wants to
sup with us. They use that English term.
Right.
He's also still trying to disprove to them the idea that he could be a ghost.
Right.
Because I'm sure in their minds they couldn't perceive a ghost as eating food. That it's wild. And I think also there's a whole process here of an unveiling. Mm-hmm. Of Jesus revealing who he is, who he really is, not who they think he is, but who he really is. And as he's revealing this, it says, and this is in verse 27, he carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself throughout the scriptures. So there's two kinds of unveiling going on here. It's not just who he is, but he's got a message that they haven't heard before. About the revelation of himself in the scriptures.
And then he, of course, he has to repeat himself, right, guys? He has to repeat himself. He unveils, but then he has to unveil again because we're thick-headed. We don't get it to begin with. Then he said to them, "Don't you remember the words that I spoke to you when I was still with you? I told you that everything written about me would be fulfilled, including all the prophecies from the law of Moses through the Psalms and the writings of the prophets, that they would all find their fulfillment." He supernaturally unlocked their understanding to receive the revelation of the scriptures. Then said to them, "Everything that has happened fulfill what was prophesied of me. Christ the Messiah was destined to suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day." Now you, this is the command to us. Okay, so what do we do with this? The disciples are hearing this. "Now you must go into all the nations." Does all mean all? I always like asking that question. Does all mean all?
We don't just go home after Easter service.
"And preach repentance."
Yeah.
"Preach repentance and forgiveness of sins so that they will turn to me. Start right here in Jerusalem, for you are my witnesses, for you are my witnesses, and have seen for yourselves all that has transpired. And I will send the fulfillment of the Father's promise to you. So stay here in the city until the mighty power of heaven falls upon you and wraps around you." And we know that when Jesus, before Jesus left, he says, "I am going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit," mm-hmm. "who will explain all things and will give you the power to do what I've commanded you to do." Because he's the giver of it all. I mean, the only thing we can give to him is our body. With surrendering ourselves to him.
Right.
And he supplies all the things necessary to accomplish what he wants to do in the world. And that is to that people would come to the realization that he lived, he died, he rose again. Because of his sacrifice of his body, his blood was shed for our sins forever so that we can be cleansed and we can come into the presence of Almighty God. That's the message. So we are to go, starting in Jerusalem, starting in Keokuk, Iowa, starting in Washington, D.C., starting in Seattle, Washington, starting in Seoul, South Korea. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we are to go because it's real. He's real, and he's walking with us. That's, I love that vision of that. Just like before, I realize in the morning is that he says to me at different times, he says, "Just whisper my name during the day and realize that I am with you."
Right.
Because it's so easy to get off track, isn't it, guys? It's so easy to get off the road. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to not realize him raising from the dead and the miracles and the things that he did. He's given us that ability to do those things. And he's empowered us to do it.
And don't you love the way he says goodbye? He lifts his hands over them.
That's right.
Blesses them with his love. While he's still speaking the words of love, he begins to float off the ground into the sky, ascending into heaven. Wow.
Wow.
And of course, the disciples are overwhelmed and ecstatic with joy as they go back to Jerusalem. But it's, wow, what an amazing Lord we have. It almost sounds like it's a dramatic effect, but it's natural to Jesus. And we would find later some of the disciples doing similar things on the road to where was it? Going down to Egypt with the eunuch and suddenly...
Yeah, Philip. Yeah,
Philip. Philip right.
is transported. You know, it's a different physics. It's a different physics.
It is. It's supernatural, I guess, because of the... God is supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So after after reading this, as you were saying, Don, at the end... he floated off the ground in the sky, ascending to heaven before their very eyes. And all they could do was worship him. Worship him.
That's right.
Yep.
We were created to worship him. I'm always reminded that being in his presence is fullness of joy.
Yes, yes.
And how we need to abide in the vine, as it says in John 15, because he wants us to be tied in with him 24 hours a day. Right, guys? He wants us to get all of our nourishment from him as we spend time with him, and then go and do as he provides or leads and directs us to accomplish those things. And I ended when I thought about all this, is I wrote down, we are all on a road. Mm-hmm. Which one is it? Is it going through the narrow gate? Is it going through the wide gate? Mm-hmm. How do you like that, guys? Where does it lead us? What does it require of us? And those are those questions. And what does Jesus say? I mean, it's complete in chapter 24. He says, go and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins so that they will turn to me. You know, go into all nations and preach repentance. So that's our marching orders.
All nations.
All nations. Yep. It's like, no, I'm going to pay for some missionary to do that. And, you know, I'm going to, and that's good because we need to support missionaries.
Yep.
But we need wherever we are, we need to go. We need to hear from him.
Well, he said to first go to your hometown. Have you done that?
Start in Jerusalem.
Start there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and then the outlying cities in your region. And, and eventually the world, which it has spread. I mean, it's just spreading, and it's a continuing thing because there's generation after generation coming upon the earth.
You know, I think about the men that were on that road when he broke bread, and then they realized it was like the scales fell off their eyes, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And I think about my encounter, how I encountered him when I was looking for him, but didn't know who he was when he revealed himself to me and said, do not harden your heart, Sandy, in a supernatural way. And that's how personal Jesus Christ is to each one of us. And he wants us to stay on the road, on the communion road with him,
right,
and communing with each other and helping and support and encouraging each other to do what God has called each of us to do. It's real simple. It's like, gather together, get encouraged, get prepared as he prepares us, and then go out and do it because we're not alone and he loves us. I always go back to that. He loves us so.
I appreciate your emphasis upon we're all on a road. Every one of us is on a road. It may be the right road. It may be the wrong road. It may be a road that's taking us to destruction. It may be a road that's taking us to heaven. But we are all on a road. And that road strikes me because those were Roman roads. These were improved roads. They were good roads.
That's right. That's right.
And isn't it interesting that God sets it up so that the Romans have it in their heart to build these great roads, so that, in God's mind, of course, so that they can take the gospel throughout the whole
empire. Hallelujah. There it
that's
is.
That's right. Yeah. Throughout all the known world.
That's true.
No. I mean, that's...
Yeah, because like when we were in Israel, we saw the Roman roads. We saw the roads that were built.
Right. The actual stones. And
yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure people complained to the very end about these Romans. And then God reveals, but this is the way the gospel will be spread.
That's right.
Trust me. Even something the Romans do can be used by God.
And it's amazing.
If you map out the road system, that was how the gospel was spread. Literally.
Exactly. Yep.
Literally. You got it right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Internally in various countries, it was because of those roads. And then by sea, as it went from port to port, you know, that's how it was spread.
So now we've got the internet, which I liken that
to a road. Isn't that what we're on right now?
We're on the internet right now. And I don't know, maybe some Roman built it, but just started out as communications around the world. It's obviously started out as a military tool. just like the roads in Rome were a military tool to get chariots and troops to wherever they needed to go. And so was the internet. But now it's handed over the people. There are 7 billion people in the world today. And guess what? 6 billion of them have phones connected to the internet.
Wow.
Now, there are some roads right from our voice or into their cell phone, into their earbuds and into their ears and minds that we can speak on all those roads. There are 6 billion of them have cell phones. And that's so incredible because they have cell phones, but 4.5 billion of the people on Earth do not have access to a working toilet.
That's incredible. Comparing, they don't, 4.5 billion don't have a working toilet
access, correct?
Access, but they, but six
but
billion,
6 billion
of them
have cell phones. It's what's important,
right?
You know, it seems connectivity is a priority, and that's what it was in the when they sent, they started with the road to Emmaus, which is a small town. Just, you'd think it's insignificant. You think I'm insignificant.
Right.
But that's where Jesus chose to start. God wants you to be a voice in the wilderness. We have connectivity to share information, thoughts, and ideas. Now, what are those informations, thoughts, and ideas? Jesus, I was going to quote something I wrote here earlier. Hope is not what we see, but what the scriptures reveal. Mm. You know, we can't build a magnificent Parthenon building, big things to represent God, even as some of the older cathedrals were meant to do and stuff. Hope is not in what we see. It has no effect on eternity. But what we see through the scriptures that they reveal, it's just it is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus says you can have that through him.
We might wonder sometimes, how in the world did Paul and the disciples and all these people that are of God, how did they gain the insights into the Old Testament scriptures? How did they gain the insight into what the scripture says at a deeper level? And it's right here. It says, and Jesus carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself through the scriptures. This is from God. It's not someone kind of sitting by the side and saying, well, I think it might be this, and, you know, possibly this has a connection here. This is from Jesus.
That's right.
This is from the man himself.
When he was 12 years old, they even gave him the time to speak in the synagogues. And the rabbis were astonished of the knowledge and the revelation that this child had.
Right, and as he told his parents, you know, I have to be about my father's business.
That's right.
Have to be about my father's business. And so I was thinking, as we kind of end today, is everyone's on a road, and we're going to give the telephone number to call if you have questions about the road that you're on. If you want us to speak with you about the road you're on and give you some insights from the scriptures, because our whole goal with the Pure Gospel Network is to reveal scriptures, the character of God, to know who he is and how to have access to God the Father through his Son, and how to live an abundant life. And it's all based on scripture. Just like you were saying, Don, it's all from scripture. We continue to just focus on scripture because scripture tells us exactly the very nature of God, the very nature of Jesus Christ. And as it ended in chapter 24, they talked about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, coming to explain those things that haven't been explained before. So it's a complete. That's why I get excited, because it's complete. It is the truth.
It is the truth.
Yeah. And if you want to call and talk to us about the journey you're on, because we're all on a road. We could be on the road to heaven, or we could be on the road to hell. the path of destruction.
Right.
And we don't want anyone to be on the path of destruction or to continue on with that, because he came to save us.
Yes.
And he came to give us our meaning in life, each one of us individually. He has called us all to different things, but he loves us and he came to save us from destruction, because the enemy wants to kill us and destroy us. So those of you out there, call. The number is 218-461-0164. Again, it's 218-461-0164.
Yeah, and there is no middle of the road.
No, there is.
There, you're either on God's road or your road to destruction, if that's, you know, the best made plans of man.
That's right.
If God isn't with it, fails. And you can't have one leg in one on one road and another leg on the other road. Sometimes they get wider and it just does not work.
That's right.
You know, when I was a kid riding a bicycle, I was ran into a picket fence and found half of my body on one side of the fence and half of my body in the bicycle on the other. And it didn't go well.
No.
I would have been just fine if I'd have stayed on one side or the other.
Right.
But I want to stay on the side where eternity meets the road.
Right.
And just like when eternity walked into the road, a common road between Jerusalem and Emmaus, outlying suburb, outlying city, you know, maybe it's 40 miles away, maybe it's, you know, 30, your city from the big city. You know, God will meet you there.
Mm-hmm. And he wants to meet you.
And he wants to meet
you
suddenly.
Suddenly.
I mean, it's just like suddenly I found that fence. I mean, I would much rather suddenly find Jesus.
Right.
Save me.
Right. Don, would you close in prayer? I think it's...
Sure.
I think it'd be... It's a great message today because... It's who God the Father is.
It was.
And that's Christ.
That's after the Holy Spirit came. It burned in my soul.
Burned.
The word just burned within me.
That's right.
And that's the Holy Spirit.
Burning, yes.
Pointing towards Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've been able to share together. We thank you that every time we look at Scripture, we can go deeper and see things that we haven't seen before.
You.
We are grateful to that. We know that that is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And we pray that those who are perhaps struggling with the Word and struggling to understand it, that they will reach out to someone, perhaps even us, and ask for an explanation and ask for insight. Lord, I pray that there will be none that go away confused and struggling, but that they will reach out and ask and seek what you have for them, because it's rich, it's wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for every person that has tuned in and has listened over this time period. And I pray that they will go away not just enriched, but also joyous, full of joy.
Amen.
Because you give joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 And I wondered if we could end this podcast the way some of the podcasts begin, with a clapping for Jesus. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You are listening to the Gospel Trail.